In this episode, you're going to get 7 communication skills you can use as a first-time manager to have more influence, reduce conflict, boost teamwork, and problem solving. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, as we talk about being a first-time manager, I'm going to give you some specific ways to navigate that transition from being a peer and a friend to a team leader of those former peers and friends of yours. You'll be able to solve problems before they start, and you'll have more influence and more respect from your team. So this is a common challenge, and I certainly remember mine. Your first leadership role is a chance to lead friends and former peers, but it doesn't always come easily. And one of my first opportunities to lead friends did not go well. I had a coworker, and he was a friend. His name was Joe. Oh, that was not his real name, but I'm going to call him Joe. And he stomped into a meeting room where I was sitting doing some work, and he slams the door shut and yells at me, "How could you let that happen?" Because he had just been fired by the company president. And I was upset too. I snapped back, "Me? I'm not the one who didn't show up and let the team down over and over." He was angry, but I was frustrated and I felt betrayed as well. And I'd put my credibility on the line to help him. But in the end, he'd gotten himself fired. And what made it worse was the fact that we had been friends for the prior year. And that all changed when I was given the responsibility to lead the team. And I will tell you that I get this question. In fact, I just had one of our clients reach out and ask me this question again. They've got somebody they're working with, they're a senior leader, and they've got somebody who is trying to navigate this transition. And when we ask a group of new leaders about their biggest problems, of course, this is always one of the most common challenges. And it's a difficult one. We've even watched experienced leaders stumble when they're asked to address or lead a team of their peers. And I always think back to Shakespeare with this one, because if you go back, Henry the Fourth, Prince Hal faced this challenge. He becomes king as King Henry the Fifth, and his old drinking buddies, they feel ignored and betrayed. Well, there were several problems that kept me from being an effective leader for my friend, and you're likely going to encounter these same problems as you lead friends and former peers. And so I want to, before I give you the solutions, want to acknowledge these challenges, because if you're wrestling with these or you recognize yourself in these, stay with this episode. You're going to get the solutions you need. So first challenge here is you want to be liked and accepted. I mean, it's a human tendency. In positional leadership, even when you're an outstanding leader, human-centered means taking responsibility for decisions that not everyone agrees with. It means holding people accountable, and it means that the group who you naturally want to like and accept you won't always feel that way. There's nothing wrong with wanting other people to think well of you and having that desire to belong. It's a very normal, human, healthy value, as long as it doesn't consume you or have you make poor leadership decisions. But when you choose to lead, it will come into conflict with some other values. Another challenge is your loyalty to the team and the mission. This is one of those, when we talk about landing in the and at Let's Grow Leaders, this is one of those ands that's so important. Your friends can feel like you've abandoned them, but you haven't. You've just added an important loyalty to the organization, your team, and the mission. And learning to balance both of these does take some work. And I'll give you some ways to do that here in a minute. But to your friends who don't understand that tension, it can feel like betrayal. And a third challenge is inconsistent behavior. And we go back to Shakespeare, Henry IV, Henry V. Prince Hal partied with the best of them. He drank with Falstaff, who was a renowned lush, and nothing about his behavior said leader or future king. Then he took the throne, sends to be king, and he treated his friends as if they were beneath his notice. He ignored them, tried to act noble, and insulted them. The problem was inconsistent behavior. The prince wasn't a leader when he hung out with his friends, and once he became king and tried to act kingly, his friends were understandably hurt. A fourth challenge, unclear expectations. And this one's a big one. Conflicting and unclear expectations are the most common problem when you lead friends and former peers. When you move from a peer role to a positional leadership role, some of your team may expect you to just give them a pass on poor behavior. Others might expect favors or special treatment, and you might be expecting your friends to work especially hard because of your friendship. And all of those expectations leads to massive disappointment when you do hold team members accountable, when you won't do favors that could hurt the team, and when your friends don't show any special effort, or even do the opposite. And the fifth challenge, and this is the reality, is that not everyone can handle leading friends and former peers. Some people just aren't able to manage that tension between friendship and supervisor. Now, in my experience, that's the exception, not the rule. So I believe that you're listening, you've made it this far, you're capable of doing it. It does take a great deal of maturity for both people to do this, but I think you've got it in you. So let's talk about it. How do you navigate this tension? How do you lead peers, people who were your peers and are your friends? My experience didn't have to end the way it did. Early in my career when it happened, I didn't know about the problems that I've just described. So the good news here is that a couple of human-centered leadership practices are going to help you manage the transition from peer to positional leader. All right, number one way to lead friends and former peers happens before you ever get the promotion. And this is lead from where you are before you're promoted. When you lead from where you are without that formal title, that's often going to lead to you being asked to fill those titled leadership positions. It's going to help you get those promotions. And it also helps to ease the transition. If your peers all know you as somebody who sets an example, practices healthy friendships, where you hold one another accountable, where you empower others, and you already balance the mission with the role on your team, then you're not going to surprise them with radically different behavior when you change roles. But if, as a team member, you're constantly critical of other people and your supervisor, it's going to be very difficult for you to lead friends when you do have that formal leadership role. Your change in behavior just won't make sense to them. All right, number two, second way to invest in leading friends and former peers is to be clear about expectations. This is the critical step. It's essential in the transition from being a part of the team to now leading that team. You have to have the conversation about the transition and your mutual expectations. So when you have this conversation, you want to discuss a couple of topics. You want to talk about commitments to your team and to the organization. What are those commitments for you? What are your management and leadership expectations of the team or the individuals on the team? What are your leadership values? Now, your people should already know these. If you're leading people you've been working alongside for the last 6 months or a year, they should already know these things about you because you've been living them. But if not, you want to communicate that explicitly. So what are your commitments? What are your management expectations? What are your leadership values? What are the organizational mandates that you're responsible for? Maybe your team aren't aware of. And then ask your peers, those former peers, team members, and friends, to be honest about their concerns or expectations of you. It's better that you know what they're thinking about going in so that you can, you know, if there's a clarification conversation that needs to happen, or you can say, oh, you know what, that's not really realistic, we can have those conversations up front. And you can discern if there are areas where they feel you're being unjust. And finally, you want to be realistic about the times that you'll have to make decisions that are in the team's best interest, even if it conflicts with what you personally would like, because it's going to happen. So if you can have those conversations up front, it's going to prevent surprises. Your team's going to know where you're coming from. There's never going to be one of those gotcha moments later on. Everything is up front. And you can use a powerful phrase to help you get into this conversation. A great way to start this conversation is, my intent for this conversation is blank so that we can blank. So my intent for this conversation is to have a conversation about the changing nature of our relationships and our roles so that we can have a really effective, productive team with really great relationships and a high level of trust between us. And then you get into it. All right, number three. So if number one, lead where you are before you're promoted. Number two, be clear about expectations. Clarify expectations both directions. Number three, clearly identify which role you're playing in your conversations. Now, this is a more challenging one for some people because it does take a little bit greater level of maturity in your thinking and your relationships. But it's also a very helpful practice to avoid misunderstandings when you lead friends. So you're talking with a friend or a former peer. You're just clearly going to identify the role you're in. Are you speaking as a friend or as their team leader? So for example, you say, hey, as a friend, I am so sorry. That stinks. How can I help? As the team leader, I can give you tomorrow to take care of your problem. Then we're going to need you back because we've got that executive visit on Friday and it's an all hands on deck thing. So just clarify, which role are you playing? I would even, for myself, when I'm doing this, I visually like symbolize, you know, putting a hat on, hey, wearing my hat as your friend. I am so sorry. How can I support you? I'm there for you after work, whatever we need. Then I'll just physically make the motion of taking that hat off, putting another hat on and saying, hey, listen, wearing my hat as your team leader, so on and so forth. All right. So that was number three, clearly identify which role you're playing. Let's go to number four. Be clear, but don't pretend you're perfect. So you're going to be very clear about your expectations, your goals, and desired behaviors, what behaviors your team can expect from you and vice versa. But you're never going to be perfect, so don't try to act as if you are. This is a mistake I've seen leaders make, and it backfires every time because your friends and your former peers all know the real you. They were working with you for all that time. Just like Prince Hal's friends, when he became king, they're like, hey, wait a minute. We know the real you. You're this party or you're this crazy guy. Like, what are you doing? So don't suddenly try to act as if you're perfect in ways they know you're not. It's fake and your credibility will suffer and your trust with the team will decay. It's okay to be you. So take responsibility, be as clear as you can. And then number five, apologize as often as you need to. Now you don't want to over-apologize. And I've seen leaders do that too, but more often leaders struggle to apologize. It's even more pronounced when a former team member is leading the team. Don't let your insecurity and desire to be liked keep you from owning your junk. Apologize and move on. Number six, feel the need to weed. Now let's be careful. That's feel the need to weed, not for weed. I want to be careful here. There are times when it's just not going to work. And I had this happen. A former peer continued to take advantage of our relationship, and despite my best efforts to clarify expectations, help him correct his behavior, nothing changed. I had to be clear about the situation. Look, I want the best for you. I know this is difficult, but if nothing changes, this is going to affect your employment. He eventually took advantage of a second friend and supervisor and ended up getting fired. You can't control another person. Your job is to be the best leader you can be and give everyone on the team every opportunity to succeed. When someone isn't interested in their own success, you also have to care enough to move them off your team. And so when I say weeding, that might be weeding your team of an employee that no longer is fit for the team, and that you have enough courage and compassion for that individual to make those decisions. But sometimes the weeding is also of your friend garden. Sometimes that friend may not be the friend you thought they were. They may not have the level of trust or maturity. And sometimes you'll need to weed that as well. That's true in life in general, but it's even more true when you accept some of these positions of responsibility. Number seven, find a new peer group. Now, this doesn't mean that you abandon your friends. It doesn't mean that you can't have relationships with the people on your team. I really don't believe that. I've had some really meaningful lifetime friendships still to this day with people that I supervised for many, many years. And we had really great relationships. But you can also support yourself by building relationships with other leaders. Find mentors, get coaching. There's nothing like a group of people who understand the challenges you experience and can share meaningful wisdom with you. What you can't do or take all of your leadership challenges to your team who you're now leading. They can't empathize. They're going to say, poor you. You're the leader. They're just not going to be able to understand. They don't have the perspective. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with them. They can still be great friends. You just need to find some other friends and peers who have similar experiences. So you can't get that from your team. Now, over time, one of the approaches I've taken is build my own personal board of directors, people outside of the company that I could learn from, that I could confide in and be accountable to. Building, going to conferences and building relationships with peers in your industry, but in other organizations, give you some different perspectives too. So it can be hugely rewarding to lead friends and former peers. And I've had some fantastic relationships, like I mentioned, but it's your responsibility as a leader to navigate these relationships, to set clear expectations, to act fairly. And even experienced leaders can benefit from reviewing their relationships to make sure they're healthy. So, you know, as before we close, I want to give you an eighth way of thinking about this. And this is not a hard and fast rule. It's not even a communication skill necessarily, but it's something that I personally have lived by that I find to be effective. So I mentioned earlier, I am not against having friendships with people on your team. Some people will tell you, don't be friends with the people you supervise. Well, if you're already friends with them, that's really disingenuous and obnoxious to them. Nope, can't be friends with you anymore. But here is my guideline for myself. When I am in a leadership management role, if I'm going to be friends with somebody, I only want to be friends with somebody who I believe would still be my friend if I had to let them go for cause. So if they didn't do their job and I had to be the one to fire them, would they still be friends with me? Do they have that level of maturity? And I can tell you, I can count them on one hand, but I have had three or four friendships like that, and those are incredibly powerful. And that's what I want for you. So there you go. 7+1 different ways to help you lead friends and former peers as you make that transition from being one of the team to now leading the team. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. And if you want a guide that you can print out and use to walk your team through these skills, it's a conversation guide so you can go through it together. It's going to help you reduce your team stress, improve morale and productivity. You'll find that and you can print it out. It's a PDF. You can share it at letsgrowleaders.com/podcast. And as always, I want to say thank you to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep in Space Digital Business Services, as well as Laura at Brooke Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, lead those friends and former peers and be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.